This week's episode, I have the privilege and pleasure of sitting down with Mona Zia. Mona arrived in Australia many years ago from Pakistan, and she has really carved out a fantastic career for herself. And more recently, in the last 4 years, launched her business. We talk about the lessons she's learned from going on that entrepreneurial journey. We talk about what all businesses need to be prepared for as we move into this next decade of technology, AI, Web3, digital assets, what you personally can do to stand out, and why she thinks that the key to success is building strong relationships. I really hope you enjoy this conversation today. Let me know what your biggest takeaway was, and let's get stuck in. Mona, welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast today. I am really excited to have this conversation with you. You've been on a very interesting journey, a very entrepreneurial journey more recent. So I'm excited to dive into that. But for the audience that aren't sure who you are, can you just give a bit of an introduction into who is Mona, your career journey, and what brought you here today? So Mona, over to you.
Thank you. Thanks, Georgia. Thanks for having me on the podcast. And I'll give you a little bit of a recap of my career, which I started when I moved to Australia back in 2002. So for those of you who don't know, my background is Pakistani and I moved here. So I was born and brought up there. I finished my education and moved here in 2000 and end of 2003, I'm pretty sure, as my memory serves me right. And I started my, I did my master's in mass communication. So I was a journalist. I was writing for a couple of newspapers back there. And when I moved to Australia, I wanted to, pursue the career in writing again, because that was my passion back then. But a few newspapers and magazines, when I approached them, they were all looking for a freelance sort of role. And I was more interested in joining somewhere where I can be, have a stable income and, just be around other people. And, I just wanted to have that social aspect of things as well. So I actually landed up, my first role was with Census. I don't know if you know, Census back in the day was owned by Telstra, and we were the print and online directory services. So I started my sales career at Census in 2003, selling advertising to small businesses, started with that, and then eventually moved into mid to large size organizations, selling advertising and relationship management, key accounts, and those kind of things. Finished with Census in 2011, because the company, it was a very print heavy oriented kind of organization, and print was kind of dying and things were moving online, and Census was a bit too late into the market. A few competitors came in and started taking the market share, and it was just not a very nice place to work at, even though we had some of the best times there. And I learned a lot. I've had some, made some really lifelong friends out of there as well. And then made a very big switch to financial services. So I moved to American Express in 2011 and stayed for the next 8.5 years with Amex, and worked across multiple business units, including merchant services and then international payments, corporate finance. So again, I think it was my sort of skill set of building sort of authentic, trustful relationships that really helped me transition from advertising industry to financial services. And it was a really big learning curve as well, but I really enjoyed that. And then in 2020 was the year, the big year, big shift in my career, where I I had this burning desire and a passion of starting my own business. I was working on that on the side for a long time. I had my son in 2017 and wanted to sort of not go back to work and pursue my own business, but I kind of chickened out because, being young mom and new mom and I was maybe not mentally prepared. So I went back and then finally decided to take that leap of faith and start a business. And the story behind starting Avantech, which is the development agency that I run, was that I have two home countries, Pakistan and Australia. And I, through my experience of dealing with businesses across multiple organizations, multiple roles, you know, I understood the importance of having digital assets, which were not very, very much available to all kinds of businesses. And, you know, if you've got the money, if you are, you know, a large corporate organization, you've got the funds and everything, and you invest heavily into those. But there's so many businesses out there, they were just not getting the right sort of presence and assets that they really needed to be sort of up to speed with where the world is heading. And then we have got great talent in Pakistan in IT. And generally what I saw was in Australia, a lot of people outsource to countries like Sri Lanka, India and Philippines, and Pakistan is still a little bit untapped. And for me, that was sort of a no-brainer because that's my background, my culture. I speak the language. I understand what kind of caliber of talent we have in that country. So we, that was the story behind starting my business. And I started with a very small team. So I resigned from my job, went up to Pakistan, set up my back-end sort of operations and with a team of, I think it was two or three people back then, and came back and we were right into COVID. So literally I resigned and started the business and COVID hit. But look, when I look back now, it's pretty much the best thing that happened to me because everything was moving at a slow pace. And, you know, I just, I did what I am really good at, which is connecting with people, you know, building my network, building sort of like, you know, just talking to people. And I really leveraged LinkedIn, connected with as many like-minded business people and communities, and built my business slowly through that, Georgia. And here I am 4.5 years later. We are a team of 17 and we really focus on helping SMEs and startups mainly with their digital presence. Or, you know, if you're an SME and you don't have a good enough online presence, we can help you with websites and in different technology stack based on the industry. We also do more complex development, which is where we really shine, where, you know, you want to improve some business efficiencies or processes. So we can create in-house, sort of, we can create internal web applications for businesses or customer portals for them. We have also released a few mobile apps for startups, and then became their long-term development partners. So yeah, we're doing a lot of interesting things.
That's incredible. I just want to take a moment and just say, like, that is a fantastic, and what a journey that you've been on. And I want to honor you as well, because I know how hard it is coming from a different country into Australia. And I want to just, you said so much in that introduction, but what was your experience like coming from Pakistan to Australia? I know a lot of women who have made that sort of jump from, you know, coming from overseas into a different country. What was your experience like? Because different cultures, different ways of thinking. How did you go when you sort of arrived in Australia?
Yeah, look, it was a big change, I must say. I mean, I'm originally from Pakistan, but we have got family all over the world. So, you know, I had traveled quite a bit, never came to Australia, and didn't know anybody here. And it was, even when I was leaving my country, I was moving here, my mom was like, "What are you doing?" Like, it's so, because Australia is considered really far away, you know, especially if you, because Pakistan is very close to like Middle East and Europe. And, but Australia is like, even now, I think anywhere you want to go, there's not even direct flight. So it was a big life changing sort of experience for me. And then getting to know the culture, the people. But I think I am a people's person, and I think it wasn't too hard for me. And that's why I wanted to, you know, get a job where I can be around people and, you know, make friends and make connections. And then, you know, dealing with business world and, you know, businesses, it certainly was a big cultural. And, you know, Jojo, you would understand when you come from a different culture and then after a while, I mean, this is home now to me. You know, I've got two homes. So I've got two, I'm very, very, you know, just lucky to have that. I've got two home countries. I've got Pakistan and then Australia. My husband is Australian, my son. So, you know, we've got a very, it's a very multicultural family that we have. My husband is half Italian, half Australian. I'm Pakistani. So my son has got all these three different backgrounds. But I think you just, the only way to learn a new culture is if you just, you know, embrace it, you know, embrace all the good things and make friends and, you know, learn. Yeah, that's how I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. And I do honestly think that Australia as a country, if you come here and you're prepared to work hard and you know, give it your all, there are so many opportunities in this country. I really do believe that. And I guess you're walking, talking proof of that as well. But you also said something really interesting in the beginning as well, which I want to pull upon. You mentioned census, and I used to actually recruit for census as well back in the day. And so I know them quite well, but you're so right. They were far too slow. So I'm curious, did you think that sparked your interest in businesses making sure that they're digital ready, they've got a good technology presence? Like, do you think subconsciously that could have had an impact on you going down this entrepreneurial journey and really interested in making sure that companies stay at the forefront of innovation?
Absolutely. Innovation is very, very important, like, you know, for any kind of industry these days. And that was my biggest frustration there, is that they were trying to hold on, if you work closely with them. And I think rightly so, because they had so much revenue that was, you know, locked in with that print, the directories that they used to print out. But at the same time, world was changing. The Australian market was changing. We had Google coming in. Reach Local back then was another big player. And census had the biggest database. So, but they just didn't make those right strategic steps back then. And that was definitely, and, you know, I remember going to businesses and they will have great print presence. But the company wasn't well equipped to, you know, just transition them from the print to digital landscape. It was just very limited in terms of options. And that definitely played a big part in how the culture shifted in that organization. So, yeah, and I think that was definitely, and like I said, you know, before I started the company, it was for many, many years, I was doing that research and digital, that's where it all started in my mind. And even moving from census to Amex and always dealing, because for 17 and a half years, I always dealt with different kinds, I've dealt with so many businesses. So I got to know their, you know, how their internal processes work, how the advertising department works, how the finance department works. And I was so surprised to see that, you know, they're such well-established brand in some cases, and they just they're not well-equipped. And if you compare that with, and this is not having a go at the Australian culture, but if you compare this with countries all over the world, I think we are still in a lot of ways a little bit behind. We don't take risk in this country much. I think things are changing. It has quite a bit now. I think COVID has played a big part in that too. The people have just really opened their minds as to how important digital landscape is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to pull out that point of census, because I think companies can get too complacent. And I think that right now, with the way the world is moving, AI, digital assets, Web3, I think that's going to be the biggest opportunity and wealth creation in our current generation. And I can see the tidal wave is coming, and some people are going to grab a surfboard and surf it, and some people are going to be on the beach, head in the sand, pretending it's not coming, and they're going to get wiped out. So you're in it, you're at the forefront, you're speaking to businesses all day, every day. What kind of advice are you giving to these small companies, these startups, about how they should be embracing digital assets, this new technology, AI? Like, what are you seeing? What's the hesitation, and why should companies be taking this really seriously?
Yeah, look, I mean, first of all, when we work with any company or with any client, we really dive deep into their business, their industry, and how can they leverage you know, the data, the customer experience, because these are the main, most important things moving forward. You know, how can you leverage the data that you already have into creating something that can improve the user experience for your future customers, or, you know, for your existing customers? So it is very, very important. And it's not a cookie cutter approach. Every business is different. There is a unique value proposition. Even if you are in a very, very competitive industry, you just need to understand. And sometimes businesses don't understand themselves. So we spend a lot of time really diving deep into there's the whole business model and how they are attracting new clients, how are they looking after their existing clients, and how can we improve those experiences through the platforms that we can build for them.
And do you see much hesitation when you're working with these new clients? Are people like scared about what's coming? Are they optimistic? What's the feel and the vibe with these sort of entrepreneurs at the moment?
Yeah, look, I mean, we deal with existing businesses. I think it's that hesitation, of course, sometimes when, as you know, things are quite tough out there for a lot of businesses, for a lot of industries. So it's just that the fear of unknown definitely holds them back, even if they do understand the importance of everything that we, you know, put on the table for them and according to our research. But at the same time, we are also talking to so many startups who are coming to us with crazy, amazing ideas, and they're not tech savvy people themselves. So it's that whole education piece. And I used to, and this is something I've, you know, we try and take them, ask them to take a step back and really make them understand what are they doing and why are they doing that and what impact is that going to have on their industry. And sometimes, you know, I've actually very politely told them this is not going to work, and because we don't want to. I mean, yes, we can do whatever you want us to do in terms of, you know, we have the capabilities and the skill set and everything, but what are you doing it for? Like, what problem are you trying to solve? What impact are you trying to make? And if their thought process, and this is why we've taken a very collaborative approach in our processes, is that especially with startups, we do sort of like a strategy call with one of our consultants who can then dive deep into what will be the next steps. If let's say if this they've got an idea, they've got a crazy idea, and we can build it for them, how can they take it to the market, and who would be their, you know, ideal persona and stuff. And it actually clarifies a lot. It actually makes our life easy too, especially, you know, in the whole process as to we know what are they trying to achieve and how can we make that happen, because they've just got a very high surface level idea, but they don't know how the intricate details of that's going to work. So it's very important to ask them to be clear on their mind, and that also really helps us as to how we can best assist them in sort of bringing their ideas or vision to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that clarity is just so key, because if I reflect on my own entrepreneurial journey, I've had a lot of ideas over the years. And I love what you just said then. It's like, what problem are you trying to solve and why? I think these two questions need to be asked. Anytime now I have a new idea or a new thought, I go, okay, what problem is this going to solve for my clients? Can I monetize this? Can I turn this into a business opportunity? And why? Why am I motivated to do this? You know, I think they are such key questions, not just for startups and small businesses, for all businesses.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's just going to be such an interesting world that we're going into. And I do think that it's the companies that you mentioned the word risk. And I think that more and more companies, especially in Australia, need to take some risks. We have this culture, and it's not just in Australia, I think it's worldwide, where sometimes failure is seen as a bad thing. And I believe that actually we need to stop this sort of thought process that failing is seen as unsuccessful. We need to fail, but we need to fail forward, you know, learn, take some risks. So, okay, what worked, what didn't, and how can we then innovate this even more? How can we, okay, that didn't work, but perhaps if we tweaked this, that could work. And I think if people are encouraged to make a few more mistakes, We could really start to innovate and we could really be more creative. But I think this is what's going to be needed in this new era that we're going into. People are so afraid to make mistakes these days, especially people with large organizations. I see it all the time. So,
and just on that, I would just like to point one thing. And I mean, you know, you've been on your entrepreneur journey and so have I. And how many mistakes have we made? I have. I mean, I can speak for myself. And those were the ones who actually, that actually taught me more than when things were going right. You know, for me, like my team is everything, because as I like I mentioned between, so I, as you know, I'm not a developer or coder by any way, shape or form. I'm just the business face of my business, but I had to have a good, strong team behind me who can do the work, right? Because I'm selling a vision and I'm selling an idea, but if there's not, and I did make so many hiring mistakes, I'd made so many processes make mistakes, and it's taken me, and I'm still learning. I'm, you know, 4.5 years in a business is not that long, but the way I have come this far is by making those mistakes and by learning from them and just, you know, just making things different and better with every mistake that I've made.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. Absolutely. And I think the key thing as well, Mona, is not tying your sense of worth into your business as well. Because what I did at the beginning of my business journey was that if something didn't go quite well in my business, I was like, oh, that's a reflection on me. I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. I'm bad at this. Whereas now I'm like, the two aren't linked. I have Georgie as my own identity and my business. They're not too intertwined. That was a really big journey that I had to go on. But I'd love to dive in now, because obviously you went from being an employee to an entrepreneur. That is quite the transition. And you did it during COVID, which the whole world was in absolute chaos. So can we just visit that moment? Because I can imagine you had so much fear, so much apprehension. Have I done the right thing? How did you continue to take that leap of faith and back yourself, even when the whole world was just completely falling apart at that time?
And we were living in Melbourne, which had the harshest.
Oh, God. That's not good. Not a good combination.
You know, I'm laughing now. I wasn't laughing back then, I must say. Because, you know, just walking away from a corporate job, which pays well. And yes, it came with a lot of politics like everything else. I'm sure you would have experienced that. But it wasn't, if I really speak honestly, it wasn't very easy to stay sort of, you know, just keep going and stay motivated. And I think that, and that was one of the reasons, like I was saying, that I panicked so many times. And in my inner circle and my mentors that I had around me back then, everyone just said, Mona, you are good at what you do. So just keep doing the output, you know, just keep putting it out, keep putting yourself out there, and trust me, things will unfold. And I still remember, I mean, the biggest shift for me was, of course, working for a large corporate, and I've always worked for very well-established businesses. They are large companies where everything is done in a specific way and stuff. And when you start like your own company in a small business, there is no process. There is no structure. There is nothing. You have to start everything from ground up. And then, of course, yes, COVID was a very challenging time in itself. So I navigated my way, and I think I just took one day at a time. And it took me some time to even get my first client, because I didn't have any portfolio. Yes, I had this whole 17 and a half years of sales and marketing and relationship building kind of experience, but not in IT. But then, of course, you know, just, and I am very thankful till today for the first few clients who, you know, they put their faith in me. And for me, that was the most important thing, and I didn't want to let them down. I still don't want to we don't let our clients down, because I learned so many good things from working for, you know, large organizations. But at the same time, I also was very conscious of not taking the bad habits with me from those cultures into my organization. So, you know, just starting creating those structures into a small organization while trying to, you know, build the business, the sales pipeline. I was doing everything on my own. I still am to an extent. But it was just wearing multiple hats and just stay focused. And the goal was to help businesses. And I knew that what was in my mind and what my vision and plan was, it's going to work. It's going to take time. And you just kept doing it. And I just kept talking to people and just, you know, just kept my mental sanity, which was very hard back then as well. Because you were locked into the house. And I really leveraged the online webinars, the communities, and just kept talking. And then honestly, Georgie, like I think it took about 3 to 6 months, and then it just started having that snowball effect. We delivered some successful projects, and it wasn't just about delivering the project. It was about the whole, I curated the communication, the, you know, the relationship and everything. Until today, all the business that we get now, everything comes from word of mouth. We are so busy, and of course, we can always take more work, like every other business. But I have built the business based on what we have delivered, based on our relationship skills with our clients, and really understanding and you know, having that trustworthy relationship, which is why you would have seen me talk a lot about long-term partnerships and relationships. And I really mean it when I say that, because, and we've got a lot of referral networks that, you know, I am engaged with. But it's not just about having the network. It's having that trusted network that, let's say, if somebody passes on work to me or I pass on work to Georgie and anybody else, you know that client will be looked after. And I don't want to let anybody down who has put their faith in me, or any client down that, you know, they think, because I mean, some of them, they are investing their life savings, or, you know, they've got a vision for their future, for their families, for their business, and they're putting their faith in us. And we just want to make sure that we do the right thing by them and deliver what we say we can deliver. And they're small things, but these are our core values in what we do.
I think that's just so important. And I just believe that what businesses are built on is good relationships. And I've always said that, like, from day one of launching CH Solutions, we have always prided ourselves on just doing the right thing by people, whether it's our clients, our candidates, our people. Like, we're always trying to do our very best and also keep that long-term picture as well. And I think sometimes when things maybe aren't going to plan, or things are a little bit sort of chaotic, the market's not very good, it's very easy to do something for a quick win, you know, just to make a quick buck. But I know that having that long-term approach of, I want to be in business for the next decade. I don't want to think in weeks and months. I want to think in terms of decades. And that's what makes me think, okay, would I regret this decision? Is this decision going to propel my business forward, or will it eventually come back to bite me? And I think that you've mentioned this word relationship over and over again. So I'd love to know, like, how do you foster these relationships? How do you go about making sure that you are the first person that your clients think about when they've got a referral to give, or they've got another piece of work coming up? Do you have anything that you do on a regular basis to keep in touch with these clients? And why are building those strong relationships so important for anyone thinking about going on an entrepreneurial journey, or any sort of journey when it comes to business or sort of getting ahead in their career?
Yeah. So like you just mentioned before, you know, people do a lot of things these days just to make a quick buck, and you'll be surprised there's still so many out there. And, you know, we talk to businesses who have been burnt in the past by, you know, other businesses or people, and they know, because like I said, that is our core value. So first of all, I think let's just take it before we even get the referral. If if we have done the right thing for our clients, that is the whole process of how we have, you know, looked at what they, how the, how we can help them, and that whole journey, that whole experience, and what we commit to, we deliver. Those are all very most important things for us. And then they become our advocates because they've had a good experience. They have seen the process and the that we have taken from end to end in, you know, working with them, understanding what their problems are. And also things can go wrong. You know, you when you're working with technology, when you're working with, you know, complex bills, it's always, you know, there is a lot of back and forth. So it's about sort of really aligning and having your clients on the same page with you that it is, you know, it takes time and it's not a one way street. It needs to be mutually, like, you know, we need your input as much as the hard work that we need to put in. So I think really making sure that they have a clear understanding of what the process would look like, and that builds that mutual sort of trustworthy relationship. And some, you know, we've been in difficult positions, like I'm sure like other businesses, but it was always that communication piece that you try and inform them earlier in the piece rather than giving them a surprise at the end. And again, these are, I learned that from a few mistakes in the beginning of, you know, when I started the business, because you try to pretend everything is, you know, moving hunky-dory until there's a big sort of surprise that comes. And I think when you preempt challenges, because challenges will always come, especially when you are building technology. So I think it's always about preempt those challenges and those unforeseen circumstances. It just builds a very strong foundation, and then you build a relationship on that. And then, of course, that is the base foundation. And then, of course, you have to then keep on delivering. So we always work on sprints. So, you know, we divide the whole project into small, and we keep the clients very close throughout the whole process, because we don't want to do big chunk of development or big chunk of design and then surprise them at the end, because that takes, we've realized that that takes longer than to reach the end goal. So that, and of course, then, you know, just having, keeping them close with clear and honest communication, in time. So all these things, they play a big part in building those trusted long-term partnerships, in my case, anyway. And of course, in having a team which is aligned with what your values are and what your vision is very, very important. I mean, I can go and promise the world, but if I don't have a team who can deliver or is not going to deliver, then all that is down the drain. So I have curated a team very carefully by making a lot of mistakes again, and, you know, making sure not to repeat those mistakes again. That's how we do it. And then, of course, you know, clients are happy, and we always want to build that long-term relationship, even though we don't, once we have done the development, we don't do ongoing marketing, but we have strategic marketing agencies that we partner with based on what type of industry and clients they are. And, but then we have other ways of working closely with them as on a maintenance retainer, and just making sure there's just checking in every now and then. Just keeping, stay in touch with them, create those long, sticky relationships. And even after, we still get clients that we've done work for them more than 6 to 8 to 12 months ago, and they keep coming back to us just, you know, just for a small tweak here and there. And I'm always very happy to work, help them out without even charging them most of the time. So, yeah, they're just more, you know, tactics, I would say, or things that makes you different from your, you know, competition. Because as you also know, I am in a very, very competitive industry where, especially after the world changed after COVID, and there's a lot of international companies and they're trying to, so how do you differentiate yourself? So our differentiation is, of course, quality products. We don't cut corners on quality, but then it's the other pieces as well, which is the communication, the relationships, the expertise, the advices that we give them. That's what makes us different. And we have a very strong network. So we, you know, we always say we can't help you with everything from the start till the end, but where we can, then we have got our strategic partners or trusted partners that we can bring in and they can advise you or guide you on the next steps.
Yeah, perfect. And you said a few things there that I just completely live by, one of them being communication. I think, honestly, that's what people want. They just want their expectations to be met. One of the biggest things that I learned in the beginning is, a bit like you, I probably tried to protect my clients.
Yeah,
we're good. We've got this. Like, we're going to get you a short list of candidates by the close of business. In my mind, I'm thinking, we've got the wrong budget. There's no, this market is so tight. Like, and I was just not, I was very, like, I guess, nervous about having those difficult conversations in the beginning, because you just, you want to hold on to that business so tight, because, you know, you're a brand new business and you just want to feel like your clients are getting a really good service. But what I've learned over the years is that you've just got to manage people's expectations, constantly communicate those constant updates of, like, this is what's happening, this is what we're finding, and like, fantastic, Georgie, thanks for the update. And they just appreciate it so much, because I hate to say it, but it's so rare.
Yeah,
you know, like the amount of times that, you know,
yeah,
correct, like businesses will just, like, you know, say, or people just go to a business and say, we want this done, and then it will just, they won't hear from that person. It actually happens all the time, especially in my industry in recruitment. But you also mentioned something there that I do want to talk to you about next, and that's just building out your team. Because, Mona, I think I've been on a very similar journey with this as well. And I'm a bit like you. I'm the front line. So I go out, I win the work, I build those relationships, and I pull in the business for the team. And I have gone on a journey of building out the team, and I have got it quite wrong and very right as well. And going experience both scenarios, it can really make or break your business. So when you're hiring in your team now, looking back on your past mistakes and what you do now, what's changed in your mindset when you come to hiring into your business?
Yeah, no, good question. So in the beginning, I don't have all the, because we work with some very complex technology stacks, and I was very much just focused on getting the right person who has got the knowledge of the technology stack, what we're building, and when it comes to design. But I've just realized that that's not the only thing that is going to work. They need to have the right work ethic, and they need to have understand the importance of where the business values and vision is. And of course, you know, in the beginning, we also made some hiring mistakes where, you know, they said some things and then they couldn't deliver. And I think our interview process and the hiring process has improved since then. So we always, you know, make sure that one of the senior developer, when we're getting a new person in, they have vetted them from a technology side of things, like they understand that they are the right resource or right person for the job. But then we also do make sure that that person is also going to work well within the team, and the sort of people that we have, they're going to feel that, like, they are part of the team and part of a small family that I always call them, because they are my business family, and it's very important for people to get along. Because if they don't get along, then it's a teamwork. None of our projects, you can't work in silo and create a beautiful website or an app. It's a very sort of cohesive sort of team environment that they have to work in. And it's very important to make sure that the personalities are going to work. And it's always, you know, work in progress. My team is all based in Pakistan. So, you know, just making sure that, because I'm not there, but I've got people in the right sort of roles to make sure that everything is moving and in a harmony, in the most possible, nicest possible way that it should. So there is more to just having the right skill set. I think there is the values, the behavior, they need to be aligned and match, and they need to have that team sort of the right mindset to work in a team rather than working in silo.
It's so important, isn't it, to get it right. But I think, yeah, as a small business, it's the biggest thing that I see people struggling with the most. And I'm sure your clients struggle with it as well, because we've got some startups, some SME clients as well. And I always say, obviously, I'm in recruitment, so I do this day in, day out. So I know how hard it is to get the right people. But it's really interesting, because in technology, it used to be very much like 10 years experience of this and 5 years experience with this. And we need this technology. But now they're going, we want somebody with strong emotional intelligence. We want people that can come in and are really good communicators, are adaptable, can have high levels of resilience, so and empathy in our leadership team. So it is changing. I think these softer skills, quotes, are now becoming more critical skills, because that's what's going to set us apart from AI robots into the future. It's these softer skills. They're going to be absolutely critical. But Mona.
Communication, because another thing that we also focus on, sorry, just on that, is that because my team, of course, they are based in Pakistan, and Pakistan, like it is the second most spoken language. So another piece that we also really focus on when we're hiring people is that most of my team there, they will be directly communicating with the clients most of the times when we are working on this complex. So communication is also very important. Because, you know, you're in the tech recruitment, that most tech people, they're quite introverted, and they don't ask the right questions at the right time. So those values and those skills and those small behavioral things are very important, being part of, to create that strong team that can collaborate and deliver the outcomes that is required as a business.
I completely agree. I want to just touch upon, before we sort of close off the podcast, about mindset, because I am very passionate about mindset. And I think that any single person I speak to on this podcast that's gone on to achieve something incredible works on themselves. So how do you personally, when you're coming up against challenges each week, because you're a business owner, you're always going to come against up challenges. How do you keep going in these tough times? What do you tell yourself? Do you have any routines or practices that have helped you get through these challenging times, really look after yourself? Like, talk to me about how important you believe mindset is for yourself.
Yeah, and mindset it's very important, especially, you know, dealing with business challenges on a daily basis. And I'm not going to say that it's a walk in the park. You know, running your own business is a walk in the park. It's the most difficult thing. Like, you've got kids, and you know, I say it is like having, you know, when you start your own business, it's like having a newborn, and you have to really nourish it and everything. But you also have to look after yourself. I do get those low moments, and it's very hard to motivate yourself. So it's real. But I think it's very important to look after yourself and keep, just keep that sort of level head that you are running a business. Well, I'm a mum as well. I'm running a business. I'm running a team of 18 people at the moment. You know, we've got so much going on, but I have to make sure, what I try and do is make sure that I take time for myself, and my outlet is I have to go to the gym. And it's not to, I always say, I don't go to the gym to lose weight or anything like that. I just go to the gym because to stay sane. I love to go on long walks and just listen to a nice audiobook or a podcast that just clears my mind, and I can just escape from all the challenges. And even if it is for, you know, 30, 40 minutes, few times a week, 30, 40, that's enough to just clear your head. But I think it's also very important, and not just when you are facing challenges. I think that should become part of your routine, to have that sort of level head and keep going. So then you can deal with those challenges in a better way. So for me, my go-to is definitely exercise, walks, audiobooks, and just spending, and of course, you know, spending time sometimes just completely. I was up till very recently, I think I was working every day of the week, even on the weekends. But now what I've started doing, I've tried to completely switch off on a Sunday or a Saturday, depending on how the week has gone or the next week is coming. I try and switch off completely for one day and not think about work. That has also really helped. It's work in progress, but it's definitely, like I was mentioning to you, we went to Torquay for 2 days and completely, so that actually did switch off. I did work a little bit on Saturday, but not much. But those, I think those small breaks every here and there, they can help you just to, it just keeps your mentally strong to deal with those daily challenges. Because if you say, you know, when you do this, then you're never going to overcome every challenge. You will have new challenge every week. You just have to be mentally strong and prepared how to deal with them, and keep your emotions aside and, you know, yeah.
Surrender. That's probably been my biggest word since starting a business. Just sometimes I just have to surrender and I can't control everything.
Yeah.
And I try, however much I try to, and every time I try and hold on to things really tightly, like they start falling apart even more. So I've just had to learn just to be like, I'm in the business of people and I can't control people. You know, if somebody decides to not show up for an interview, like I've done all I can to get them there. If they don't show up, okay, I've got to accept that. Not sure what happened, but all these things happen on a daily basis when you're working in a business, you're dealing with people at every turn, guaranteed something's happening. And what I've learned is just that I've got to have these practices to keep me sane almost. And for me, it's the same. It's exercise, it's movement, it's meditation. Meditation changed my life. I've got a very fast brain. So
I started meditating.
No, but that's why you should. Why you should. I honestly said the same thing 8 years ago and it fundamentally changed my life. And since I've started meditating, my health, my energy, my focus, everything has got better. And I can't speak about it enough. Meditation has literally changed my life. But like you, you do need these practices, and not just for when things are going well. It's to deal with when things aren't going well. I always say to myself, this is what I train for. This is why I meditate. This is why I exercise. This is why I have these practices, so I can not sail through certain challenges, but I can definitely deal with things in a very calm and practical manner and not lose myself in the emotion of what might be happening in that moment. So it's so important, whether you're an entrepreneur or somebody working in a big organization or somebody starting out in their career, to really have these strong practices. But Mona, look, where can I send people who have a business idea, are a startup or a small SME, they want to get some advice around their business, digital assets, innovation, creativity? Where can I send people to find out more about yourself and all the incredible things that you do?
As the most important, I mean, LinkedIn would be the best platform if they want to connect with me. My website has everything, pretty much everything that we do. So they can go and check out our website. But LinkedIn is definitely my main platform where I play. And very, very happy to speak to anybody who's got it. And I mean, it doesn't have to be, if it turns into a transaction, that's great. But I'm always happy to have a chat to anybody who's got a crazy idea or something that is going to solve a problem and make the world a better place. I'm happy to have a chat. And yeah.
Perfect. We'll make sure we put all the links below. So make sure we go and connect with Mona. And Mona, it's been a pleasure having you on. I hope to see you at one of our events soon. Mona, you've been to a couple of Sisterhood socials. And again, that just shows your commitment to networking, meeting other entrepreneurs, meeting other career professionals. So I hope to see you at our next one. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Georgie.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you. you.